Office. We will now transition to our next budget report presentation from the Recorder's Office.
Okay, I guess we're ready. We're from the Recorder's Office. I'm Jeff Smith, my assistant Andrea Allen. I guess we just go. I haven't used these before. Okay, so our department mission statement is to provide the citizens of Utah County protection and preservation of recorded documents pertaining to real property. Our organizational chart that we have 31 employees in our office. We have myself as an elected official. Andrea is my assistant. She's over two people that do they're quality control for recording and for mapping. And then we have three supervisors over different departments. We have our customer support. We have our administrative recording area that does the recording and the entry of all documents. And then we have our mapping division, which maps all the documents and keeps the abstract for all the documents that we have. In our mapping functions, we have four main jobs. We have the recording area, which has the four different technicians. We have mapping function, which has our cadastral mappers with our supervisors. We have our customer service function, who helps anybody that comes into our office. And we have office management function, which we're trying to implement this now. This is what we have. We got funded for this, and then right when we were hiring them, we actually had interviews for that day when we got the notice that we weren't able to hire anybody. So that was part of the COVID effects. Hiring, we were frozen. We had a total restructure going on where we were gonna hire quite a few employees, try to get our office running a little better than it has been. That was all put on hold. We have 60% of our employees are working from home right now. We got entry and mapping. They call in every day. They're in communication with everybody, so we know what's going on. It's a new experience. Our budget, we get just over $3 million annually is what we usually spend. In 2020, a year to date, so far since last Friday, we've collected almost a little over $6 million in fees. We still have two months left in the year to continue collecting fees. We expect to hit $7.5 million by the end of 2020. You can see by a number of documents here how it just goes up, and the money also. In 2015, we did 117, brought in $2.2 million. This was back in the time where we were not forced to, but we were asked a lot of questions like, how come we don't bring in enough revenue to support our office? We were always fighting that, which to me was a silly little thing, because we're a department that we make money, but to be forced to make enough money to cover ourselves, that's not right, because we can't tell people what to record and when to buy and things like that. So that was kind of a stick. But however, since
you also didn't have the ability on the county level to determine the pricing.
Exactly. Right. And so taking that into consideration, I fought for about 4 to 6 years to get the prices increased. We finally got that increase in the middle of last year to $40 from 10, which you can see how much money we brought in already this year with that rate, which it helps a lot because that was just a flat fee. We don't have to, like, when they brought documents in, we'd have to calculate, you know, how much the fee was. Now we just know what it is, and it's so much easier if things go a lot better. Our goals and anticipated outcomes. We want to meet statutory deadlines by the state code for recording and entry and proofing and mapping. Our anticipated goals, we wanted to restructure our office to meet state code requirements. We wanted to close the gap, which is the gap of recording and entry when people can see their document online so title companies that can do their job. We wanted to be within 48 hours. A mapping, we wanted to be within 2 weeks of proofing or the entry. And the other one I can't see. Oh, up there, sorry. Our grouping with our mapping program, auditing our work process. We have quality control people now that work with the mappers. We do a lot of groups. We do a lot of projects with them. And now she checks to make sure their work is complete. And there's no backlog going over to the assessor. There's nothing waiting over there for them to check. Everything is going well. Our actual results, we added one quality control analyst prior to the COVID, but we didn't get it fully restructured. We increased our documents per person that they were entering and mapping. However, with a high level of recordings, our goal, which was a great goal, now needs to be increased to even more, which is very difficult. We got workers doing a lot with little, but they're doing their job very well.
Yep. Question on that. So it's great that you increased the number, but you just said now you need to increase the goal. Really, you could still keep this goal because you didn't get all the way to it, right?
Yes.
And what was the average? What did it end up?
We wanted to be 100 documents a day, and we wanted to go up to 150. So that was like what we wanted to do
per person.
And so this is people that are entering and checking documents.
Okay, but I think for 2020, the goal was 100, right?
It was.
And it sounds like you improved it from 2019, but it didn't get all the way to 100. So what did you get it to?
We got a lot of new record. I mean, just a lot of recordings.
No, but what's the average?
Oh, the average.
The average is about 100.
Yeah. Okay, so you did get.
We hit that, but on the next slide you'll see why it needs to increase.
Okay, I'm just reading the statement here that said, if you look at the bottom on this second goal,
right,
with record high recordings, you increased, but didn't quite average out to the 100 docs per day per person.
Some hit it, some did not.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Okay, next. Okay, these are our monthly status of documents recorded from 2019. And you can see how many that we were doing and how they just jumped at the end of the year, and they continue to jump from 8,000 up to 13,000 by the end of the year, pretty much two-thirds more. It also brings in the fees. Monthly, we're bringing in like $500,000 if you look at that. Then this is the recordings for this year. You can look, you put them side by side, it almost doubled in some instances, or very close to it. You know, in January, almost 13,500 compared to 8,000. So you can see our numbers have grown quite a bit. We have dashboards that we use that Andrea's worked with the computer department on creating, so we can see where the mappers are, we can see how many documents have been recorded, we can tell anybody that's touched that document and what they did with it. It gives us how many are out there waiting to be worked, just a whole gamut of information. This is more information. We can break it down to, you know, how many documents were done that day by a mapper that were routed to them or is in their area. So we can tell if they're doing their work, when they're doing it, and if it's a good quality. This shows this is another part of our dashboard that shows what documents were assigned to what mapper, what they've completed, the documents they have to work on, what's been assigned to them.
Sorry, can you go back?
You bet.
I want to understand, this is great data and appreciate you doing this. So if I'm looking at, what are these different rows represent? Are these like assigned individuals in this middle section?
They are.
Okay,
so took names out.
If one individual was assigned, I'm looking at the top line, 4,153 documents, and routed means been assigned to them, but they haven't done anything. Is that right?
It means they received them routing, or they also routed documents that weren't in their area.
Okay. Completed by someone else. This is really helpful data. I guess I was a little bit surprised. The thing that looks low to me is this docs to work. I think I'm misunderstanding the second column, because you would think that some of those, the work still to do would be higher based on the number of completed documents.
Hi.
Hi.
So the assigned documents are documents that are assigned by entry. So as soon as the front end staff does their entry, which is 100 documents per day kind of deal, those go out to the individual mappers and to a category we call fodder. So that one that's the 91,312, those are documents that are non-conveying type documents. They are mortgage documents. They are UCC filings. They are foreclosures. They are judgments from the courts. Those are documents that typically the mappers do not look at. And so it's called, it's considered a fodder group. That's why that number is so high and why there is nothing routed or completed, because there's not an individual. That group of documents is distributed to the customer service team, which is at four. I get some of those. So those aren't seen by the mappers at all. These other documents that are routing, we've just redacted their names. So each of those lines applies to a specific mapper. There are some lines on there for mappers who have left our employment in 2020, but they still did some work. So you'll see that some of those numbers are low because of that. My line is the top line, and I get a lot of documents that I'm routed in with multiple people. So some of them I work, some of them I just take myself out of the routing. I get all of the subdivision maps come to me, as well as the mapper who is over that subdivision. So on that routed only column, that's if a document is routed to multiple people, because at the time of entry, we don't know exactly who will end up working it. It could be a mapper that does subdivisions. It could be a mapper that does section ground. They have to actually look at the document to determine who works it. If it gets routed to me and you, Commissioner Ainge, and you're the one who works it, I take myself out. If you're not the one who works it and it's me, you would take yourself out. So that's the routed only column. And then the completed is, as of the date of this report, which this one was 10-10, so last Friday, that's how many of those assigned documents that were not routed were completed, or completed by someone else. Sometimes we have to route it to someone who was not in the routing because of the way it was entered. So there's a lot of back data that goes to these numbers. Documents to work, that's just saying how many in my queue I have left to work based on that date. So on 10-10, I had 299 documents in my queue up to the date of entry and proofing to work.
Got it. So it looks like in general they kind of add up, but they're not, number of assigned is not supposed to add up to all of these other columns.
Correct.
Combined.
Correct.
Because there's some changes that happen along the way in assignments of responsibility. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the upper portion that you can only see a few lines of, the screen rolls, and so to get all portions of the screen, that's just the bottom portion of the work analysis that goes to the assessor's office. So the first line is the total number of groups cumulative by all of the mappers. The second one is the total of parents that have been killed. Parents, once we work a document, our hierarchy is parents, children, remainders, sames. Parents always stop being taxable for the next tax year. The children are what come from that parent. So oftentimes there are multiple parents that will go to one child. Sometimes there's one parent and it goes to multiple children. So those numbers are just the number of parents. The third one is the number of children. The fourth column is the number of sames. So that is something that happens in a boundary line agreement. Like my boundary is really good, but my neighbors are not. There's either a gap or they're overlapping on mine. But mine just stays the same. But I'm involved in that document, so I need to have that document abstracted to my property so people can see that I entered into this agreement even though mine didn't change. And so those are sames. Sames also happen with an annexation. So when property is annexed and the boundary doesn't change for the property, just the taxing entity changes, those are also sames. Redraws are parcels, and that's the next column up in the top. It's the column that's 465. So as we're working in an area, if we see that there are problems on the map or there has maybe been an error in the way the description was entered into the code file system, we'll do a redraw. A redraw doesn't change acreage. It doesn't, sometimes it'll change acreage, but minimally. It's more of a cleanup mechanism, and so redraws happen. And then the next column is the total of parcels. Then when you get over to the other side, some of that information, the last three columns are greenbelt work that needs to happen in the assessor's office, and the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 columns before that are groups that are sent to the assessor's office. They're in check status, and they're waiting to be worked by the assessor's office. And then the fourth column over is where the assessor has accepted those groups that we have sent over, and it's waiting to be processed by the assessor's office. This is the one area where our addition of the quality control analyst really shined brightly, because having that task taken from my workload really allowed our department to have this information to the assessor's office more timely, and to allow the assessor's office to have access to that information more timely than they had in the prior 2 years when we didn't have someone hired to replace the person who retired. And then I just had that taken on because I had done it years prior to it being separated out. So that's kind of that one document analysis. It's a ton of information, and it changes daily. It changes throughout the day. It's very fluid. All of these numbers change depending on what time of day you run the report. Any other questions on that one?
No, thanks.
Great.
Any other questions? Should I continue? Okay. Yeah, this is one that shows, yeah, I'll let Andrea, she does the checking and this information.
I'll just talk about this one too. I think when Patrick from IT did his presentation, you kind of saw a brief shot of this. Currently, IT is working on enhancing this portion of the mapping stats for us. This is old data because they have to work from a separate set than what I'm currently using every day to check. So this screenshot is of old data. But again, you can see the next 20 documents outstanding to work. This is just showing what mapper has what document to work, the entry number, who it was assigned to, the date it was assigned. These change. Sometimes a mapper will be assigned a document and it really doesn't go to them and they'll have to assign it to another mapper. So the date assigned kind of jumps sometimes. The lowest document next, not completed, just shows you what day that specific mapper is on and that's his next document or her next document to work. The bar graph over on my left, the red and green, those are documents that are assigned and those that are completed based off of, you can see the mapper's names under there and you can kind of see how, if we take a look at the Jeffrey Barnes where the red's really high, he works mostly subdivisions and those name changes are really high. And so he may have had some assigned to, let's say, Garrett. So some of the red from Jeff would have been given down to Garrett and completed by Garrett. And you can see how Kate's has a really big green bar. She is the supervisor, so she's the one who's doing the reassigning to try to make those bars and graphs more in line with each other as she tries to manage the volume of work for each mapper. And so
do you prefer to manage it this way, or do you wish that there was a way that one, it's reassigned, that changes then the assigned column on the dashboard?
And that's what we're working on, is to so we can see a little more accurately based off this bar what is happening. We have those numbers in other places, but it's just numbers. So that's part of this enhancement that we're working on.
So this is fluid every day.
I mean, it is.
You're seeing it going back and forth.
Everything is fluid every day.
I find this fascinating, especially on measuring productivity. You know, if they're, as you said, a lot of them are working from home.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, and then of course you have your quality control that are also going through and probably checking that to see if the work's getting done appropriately. So overall, just with working from home and working in the office, do you see differences, comparable differences, or is it about the same? What's your experience with that?
We are actually seeing an increase in productivity.
Really?
We have been, yeah.
We have seen an increase. Not huge, but we were really worried that it would go down,
right.
And it didn't. Probably better results with the mappers than with the entry, but we did have more of the mappers home from until about August maybe, and then we had a few more come back in, but it was surprising that it did increase and they are getting closer to closing the gaps than they have been just here in the office. So the bar graph where you see the lines going horizontally with the little bit of blue, the green and the red, those are conveying documents, non-conveying documents and segregations. So the blue is a segregation. So that's that kind of correlates to the other page where we had that list of segregations just on the whole Ghibli job. This is just laid out so that you can kind of get an idea. We do a lot of non-conveying documents. So these are refinancing, these are UCC filings, these are federal tax liens, these are judgments. There's a lot that are, you know, the fodder type, non-ownership type documents. And again, this data is in flux, so it's, you know, they're still trying to fix that. The thing that looks kind of weird are those line graphs. So can you slide this? Well, we can't. So I believe the box, the one with the square boxes, was 17. The green line, I want to say, I can't remember because the slide kept cutting it off, so I couldn't get the dates under there. But I know the purple is 2020. And I think the green with the X's was 2019. So you can see that all of those years, you do a quick raise, and then it kind of drops off. Well, the purple is dropping off right now because we're only in October. So down at the bottom, you see we're in month 10. And then when we hit month 12, it drops off down again because we start into the next cycle. So this graph isn't working quite the way we want it to, because it starts over with January. Instead of just showing a one-year, you know, cycle, it's showing multiple months, and so it goes up and then down and then back up sharply, but you don't see that on that graph. But the increase up to the 12 months is, you know, kind of what we're looking for. When it pops out into the details, it will give us the number of documents recorded, the number of segregations, it'll carry all of that. So it
is confusing, probably because you don't see all the keys at the bottom.
Right.
But it says, you know, to be completed from 7/1/2020 to 10/30/31.
Yeah.
So I would assume that would be the range. But you're saying this is the months down below for the whole year.
Right. That upper date, the 7 to 10, is not correct for
not
this
correct.
Graph.
Okay.
Like I said, this is in, yeah. They're working on these, and these are some things that it's like, oh, yeah, that date doesn't apply there. That they have added a date that's over there on the far right, the begin date, end date. That is for specific data in one of the boxes, and it just applied to all of these other graph, and it doesn't really apply. Because this is a... in flux, and they're still working on these enhancements. They're trying to figure out how to make that work exactly.
Do you anticipate that this year's will go all the way back down to about, because it looks like everything starts at that 5,000 level in the way of documents. Do you anticipate it will drop all the way back down to that by the end of the year?
No.
We're
going
up. Interest rates. Subdivisions have been coming in. The week before last, I think we created 147 new lots in 1 week. We got like 27 plots in. I mean, we're just getting inundated with subdivisions.
Got to get foundations in before winter.
Exactly. Yeah. We always see a big rush in the fall and the spring. Everyone wants cement done now, and they want it done in the spring so they can move in during the summer. So most subdivisions, we see rushes like that, and everyone wants it done today so we can build tomorrow.
Right.
Can you put this one back? Okay. If you look at this slide right here, that number of documents at 10/20, that was as of the first
6 days.
12 days, is that? We just ran this yesterday. So we're already at 6,800 documents in the first 12 days of October. Versus 14,639 all of October last year. So we're not going to slow down. If you look at August, that was an unbelievable amount of documents. which is why that 100 document a day with 8 workers is never going to have us close the gap. And it's not just entry that these team members have to do. So they have to record the documents. They have to verify them through Simplifile. They have mail that comes in. They have subdivision plats that happen. They have proofing that has to be done. So there's a variety of tasks that go with trying to hit that 100 document day a day. We did bump them up to 150, trying to make sure that we can have that gap closer to being closed by January 30th when we need to turn information to the assessor. But like Jeff said, we have no control over the amount of documents that come in or the amount of documents that do not come in. We're at the mercy of the process, the interest rates, the weather. And, you know, as you mentioned, it's been great weather, so building is going like crazy. You just heard your presentation from Mr. Polson, and I'm sure he talked to you about the trend and how it's going up. So,
and you have to do your 100 documents a day. It can't be a cumulative over a year because you're going to have these spikes where you have a lot going on in 1 month or
1 week.
And so you have to, and then you have to, you probably have statutory, I'm guessing, some statutory requirements to turn that document back in or back, you know, push it through. It can't sit there for a year.
Right.
You know, you have some requirements there, so you get buffers on each, or you get restrictions on each end.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, as Jeff mentioned, we are 4 employees, full-time employees, understaffed currently from our staffing plan from 2019. We had some people retire, and just with the effects of COVID and the issues that came up and, you know, training while working from home, you know, it's not been real conducive to have new hires. We are in the process of recruiting right now, but we're too short in entry and we're too short in mapping, and you can't load real heavy on the front end and have all those documents in and processed and not have anybody on the back end to work them. It has to stay pretty even. It does no good to have all of the team on the back end waiting for work if it's so busy on the front that they can't get the information to where it needs to be. So this is just another one of our dashboards. This is one that's in progress too. So there's the 2 boxes that are not filled in just yet, but this just is kind of a pie chart version of the graphs. But this is just assigned and completed. So instead of the bar being red and green, this is just, and it gives a percentage of what was assigned. And again, the dates aren't exactly correct. They're just kind of a hangover from something they were working on that didn't quite work. But you can kind of see based off these 2, if you look at mine, my pie chart, I have 1340 assigned to me and I've completed 1054, whatever that number says, and the percentage of what I was assigned and what I completed. And this is for the mapping team. So these are, you know, these are similar to what is being tracked on the entry side of things, which was one of the first dashboards that Jeff showed you and talked about.
How do you measure? I'm curious of this because this looks very similar. When I was running a business, we do it on a service-oriented basis. And for us, although, you know, 1 = 1 when you're talking about a call, or maybe a map is 1 = 1, but they're not all equal in the amount of time and effort you put into it. So you could have somebody on here that has a low number, but they're working on some of the harder ones.
Right.
So how do you measure that?
We look at some of those other items on the reports that tell us what kind of document they have been routed. And we know if you only had one map and you had maybe seven fodder documents, that we know fodder documents don't take that much time.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you look at it, does the description match, you put a number on it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a name change, you have this whole different criteria of what you have to look at and ensure is correct before you actually make that name change. You have to make sure that the description is correct. There's a lot of different things. So we know what kind of documents you're getting, how many are name changes, how many are non-conveying, and that's what will show up on some of these reports on the side here, is number of name changes, number of non-conveying, and then also the number of segregations, because a segregation takes a lot longer to work. It could be one page piece of paper, but it could take you 3 hours to work through it, depending on how the document is.
Do you take this into their assessment too?
Yes.
Their-
mm-hmm. Yeah. All four of these dashboards are used in their yearly assessments. Mm-hmm.
See, and it would not be fair for me to go and do an assessment like that because I have no idea
what
it takes. But just looking at the pie chart, you'd say, wow, so-and-so's doing great. So-and-so here looks like they're skinny. But unless you know what's going on with the documents, you'd have no clue.
Correct. And the supervisors have access to these dashboards. The two quality control team have access. One does mapping, one does entry. So they give input to the division managers, and Jeff and I have access, and we give input because we audit these and monitor these. I do daily. I pull it up every day and print it. And that way, you know, I'm in another set of eyes, and I can go to the supervisor and say, you know what? We have a mapper who has been stuck on the same document for the same day for 4 days. Let's see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I can see that, you know, this particular mapper only has 15 documents in his queue. This one has 515. Can we maybe reroute some documents here? When someone is on vacation, we look at this so that we can rearrange their work to people who are more on target with the recordings. So there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just we're looking at the numbers. The numbers in our circumstance are not just numbers. There's always some background to it, but it gives you a starting point and it gives you something to look at. And that's why part of that date range is there. This used to just be static. I could only get a 6 month overview and that's it. I just had 6 months. Now, as they're working on this date, and hopefully they'll get it fixed so that it works correctly. I know they will. They will. It's just going to take a little bit of time. But then I can pull it up based off a date and say, on this date, this is what was happening. Yeah, this particular team member maybe really was having some struggles. So is it struggles that they need more training? Is it struggles that it was just a really horrible document day, which happens?
Mm-hmm.
There have been days the last couple of months where one mapper will get seven subdivisions from one city, and they work with multiple cities, and they'll get seven in one day. That's just overwhelming to work because they're not one or two lot subdivisions, you know. And so, yeah, it just gives us a good starting point with the other data that is there in the background to look at. And then, like I said, you know, the supervisor's keeping a real close eye on this, so they can kind of help manage what needs to be done, if there needs to be, you know, a change in the direction of the workflow. And we have the same data for entry. We can tell who entered it, who corrected it, if they made a correction, what the correction was, how long it takes them to do the entry in between documents. We can see what kind of document it is. So, you know, it's subjective, but it's a good solid starting point to look at those metrics. And these dashboards, the static ones, we've had for probably since 2010 when Diane Butler was here. She created these for me, and they've enhanced and changed over time. And this year, about 3 months ago, I started meeting weekly with the IT team to get these enhanced to where they're usable on a daily basis with current data. So.
Thank you. Nice.
Any other questions? I think that's it then.
That's it?
Okay.
Done. Ready break.
Okay, thank you. With that, we will go ahead and adjourn until tomorrow.
Thank you.